Okay, thank you very much for the responses to those questions. I'm going to ask another question of our panelists, and then after that move on to let them dialogue with each other. And the next question is, do you see obstacles to acceptance among diverse groups? And if so, do you think that poetry can aid those gaps? And I'm going to switch the order around a little bit this time, so Ashraf, you'll go first. So once again, do you see obstacles to acceptance among diverse groups in the Philadelphia poetry community? Do you feel like the poetry community is fragmented in that way? And if so, do you think poetry can do anything to bridge those gaps?
Yes, I guess the answer is yes to both, and I'll cite an example from personal experience. Being a gay person and from an Arab background, I tend to those are already, you know, two categories that tend to be generally speaking exclusive, in the sense that one is not necessarily accepting of the other because of certain values, and yet I find myself somewhere kind of at the intersection of both. So for example, when I'm invited to read poetry for example, something that's more political in tone, so, you know, say for a fundraiser for Playgrounds for Palestine, part of me wants to leave kind of my own sexual orientation kind of as out of it, because knowing it may not be generally accepted by this audience with more traditional values, and yet not as a point. It, you know, one of the poems I wrote during the 2006 war was. It's called Looking Through Your Eyes, and it was written kind of as looking at the situation through my partner's point of view. And I think and it is one of my favorite in that sense, because it manages to bring you know, the politics and the conflict in the region to a very personal level and very relatable in that sense. And there isn't something kind of explicitly gay in the poem, and yet in the introduction I typically do say, you know, kind of introduce the poem as I just described. And I think seeing it in that sense, that these two identities aren't mutually exclusive, does help kind of in bridging that gap. And the same thing, kind of being, you know, someone from a Muslim family, and for example, you know, I got poems published in Queering Language and Islamica within the same month, and it was kind of an awkward thing. I, you know, perhaps for me, and I don't know if for, you know, for both parties, but still it. You know, it is sort of informative to, because there, you know, within minorities there is a certain sense of anger, which I understand very well, and so kind of just acknowledging that there are minorities within the certain minorities, that you could be, you know, you could be gay and yet, you know, your family's Muslim, and yet you're angry at Muslim fundamentalism, and yet you're angry at there is within our complexities as humans kind of the ability to accommodate all these different paradoxes, and I think, you know, again, poetry is an ideal medium kind of to bring all these overlaps together. And I imagine that you know, Ms. Weiss can talk again, you know, to a similar experience about being a lesbian in the black community, which I imagine is similar in the sense of it's one of the more traditionally conservative ones in terms of societal values, and, you know, as we saw in California, and yet you probably find yourself split kind of as a person.
So So that wasn't my concerns.
Personally, in Philadelphia, when it comes to being, I will talk about my sexuality first. Being a lesbian out here, it's in the beginning, it felt like more of a problem. It was like, I don't know how they're really going to take it. You know, I went to a lot of quote-unquote revolutionary type venues. You know, a lot of black people in there look like everybody's pumping their fists and they're really angry. That was a stereotype of a lot of places I went to. And I still visit those type of places because sometimes it feels like home, I'm going to be perfectly honest. And I was afraid though, because as much as it felt like home in one sense, I was like, if I come out in these type of places, I don't know what they're going to think about me. And like I said before, if you ask me, I would tell, but I didn't want to tell, you know, ask me. And I was hoping nobody did. But it got to the point that eventually I said, whatever, you know, I'm a lesbian. And I hate titles, but for lack of other words right now, yeah, that's what I am. And I include it in a lot of my poetry. I talk about everything as far as my identity. And now, honestly, there hasn't been one time in a Philadelphia venue since, I say, about 2 years ago that I had to hesitate and say, oh, wait, let me think about it. Of course, sometimes I'm like, I wonder how they're going to react. But at the same time, I'm like, look, if they react a certain way, whatever. I'm all about just being who I am now. So I've gotten over that barrier. But at the same time, I know certain people do judge. But, I mean, what place, even outside of Philadelphia, what place are you going to go where you say lesbian, gay, queer, any word like that, black, white, and somebody's not going to raise an eyebrow? There's always somebody who has something against a particular type of, you know, group or whatnot. So we just have to learn to be ourselves, but that's a whole nother lecture. As far as the whole, wait, what was the other part? Getting off track.
Do you think poetry can serve to bridge the gaps?
Poetry could definitely serve to bridge the gaps, but it's a stepping stone. It's not the ultimate solution. You know, we have a lot of gaps. I think one of the biggest gaps that I've seen out here in the Philadelphia community is with race. I go to certain venues like what I just mentioned, and I just became a host at a certain venue. And I started off when I came on this poetry scene, it was a little less than 4 years ago. And I was very much so, you know, very revolutionary. I just went by what I thought being a poet was about, what I thought being black was about. I've learned how to love, and I know 4 years ago doesn't sound like a whole lot of time, but I realized this is about community, let's love each other, and I would never consider myself a racist, ever, but I know back then I did have a lot of issues with just learning how to build and learn a sense of community. So back then I visited a lot of venues like that, and I'm now the co-host at one, and what I want now is to bring different races in there and to build that sense of community, because I see it's a majority black. It's like 99% black people in there. And if like one white person comes in a venue or any other, I would say if you're Latino or whatnot, you might feel rather comfortable. But if you're a white person, I've seen it. People would just stare at you or they just would feel rather uncomfortable unless they're a familiar face in a Philadelphia scene. And that's not cool at all. It shouldn't be that way, you know? Or unless you fit the stereotype. If you look like a poet, most likely you'll fit in, you know? But if you just look like somebody who's visiting and you're not black, you know, that's not cool at all. So that's one thing, just to get off topic real quick, that's one thing I like about the slam scene that I'm in, because for some reason I see like a different type of community there. You know, I go to the slam venue in Philadelphia, in Germantown, and it's way more diverse, you know? And only reason why I don't get to visit that much is because I live further from there, but so diverse, and we definitely need to bridge that gap. In poetry, you can do it because we're doing it as teams, coming together, doing these collabos, but it's only a stepping stone. You know, we're making a statement, but we actually have to do stuff to make it happen.